How's that again?
I think you just morphed into like
Full House. It is.
We're straight into Full House.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. I'm like, yeah, that's not right.
No.
Hey, it's episode 191 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics, including Avengers.
And on this episode, we're talking about Avengers Endgame. With our good friend Matt King.
Yay! An actual Avenger. Yay!
I wouldn't go so far as to say that. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page.
Wow.
There you go. Avengers totally bombed at the box office this weekend.
Measly
$350.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
$350. That's it.
Yeah,
$350 million domestically.
350 big ones.
That is a new record. How much did it beat Infinity War by? Over almost 100 million, right?
No, it wasn't that much.
Wasn't that much?
No, I didn't see. I didn't look see what Infinity War made last year.
I think it was only between 30 and 50.
Okay.
1.2 billion overall.
Yeah, that's...
For nice. One weekend, for three yeah. days.
For 3 days.
I mean, well, three. We'll say three and a half.
That's the number I'm thinking.
We'll say three and a half.
And Infinity Wars was just shot of a billion. And this made
1.2 billion. No. They said Infinity War had to take, 11 days to reach a billion, right?
That's what it was. It took 11 days to reach a billion. And this only took five to get the 1.2.
Was it five?
I thought it was 1.2 by Sunday.
They said 5 day total in the article I read.
Oh,
it started early.
It came out a day early.
Yeah, right.
Australia.
Okay. UK maybe. Still, I mean, that's
China.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
here we come, Avatar.
God, I would please. Be so happy.
It won't happen. And we'll discuss it, but it would be well deserved. Much more than Avatar.
Anything would if you're comparing it to Avatar. So.
Right.
And also number two at the box office, Captain Marvel in its 9 millionth week at the box office. So congratulations.
Yeah, I love how number two had 8 million. Eight.
And it was all people just catching up.
Yeah.
And like, oh shit, I missed Captain Marvel.
Hey, I gotta see this first.
And you have to, because the stinger, you have to see the stinger at the end. Or else you're like, who the fuck is that? Why is she here?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You don't have to, but you wouldn't understand.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can just assume that she's flying out of space.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Any movie news? Any news?
John
Singleton died today.
Yeah, that's right. John Singleton did die today. He had
51 years old.
He had a massive stroke last week, I think it was.
Yeah, he was on life support.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
They took him off today.
Yeah, that's terrible. 51.
51.
Jesus, what a sin. Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, he did some very culturally significant work.
He really did.
In film.
Yep. It's a shame. Condolences out to his friends and family. I remember seeing it like that he had the stroke and I was just like, oh wow. And then because my weekend was a whirlwind this weekend.
You got Wendy's.
I did get Wendy's.
Whirlwind.
Crazy.
I went to a Moog Fest in Durham.
Moog?
I think it's Moog. Or is it Moog? I think it's Moog.
I thought it was Moog, MOOG.
No, it's not Moog. It's definitely not Moog. Okay. I think it's Moog. Moog?
Moog.
Moog. Moog.
Moog.
Anyway, it's a
Norwegian.
It's a synthesizer and electronic music festival that used to be in Asheville every year, but they've since moved it to Durham the past few years. And I went as a guest of my friend Ava Ann, shout out to Ava Ann, who won tickets because they were ridiculously expensive. Because it's a very, very niche convention and slash festival, we'll call it. Because
it's a festival. You know,
yeah. And the reason why we went is because Martin Gore of Depeche Mode was the keynote speaker. And
or as you like to refer to him now.
Martin. Just Martin.
Bud Martin.
Martin.
Also, Daniel Miller of Mute Records, which is Depeche Mode's label, and has been since 1981. He was there too. So it was a big, for Depeche Mode fans, it was a big 1-2 punch.
Literally the only reason the label still exists.
They've had a lot of stuff. I mean,
more niche stuff. Yeah.
Well, they had Moby. Moby's on mute, but he's not, and he hit it.
I would consider Moby niche.
I guess, yeah. I mean, he had those two albums that were huge, though.
He had that feud with Eminem.
He did have the feud. Well, actually, I think Eminem had the feud with Moby. Yeah. Moby just kind of laughed.
He was just like, okay.
Moby's like, all right. And I actually got to meet Martin Gore, which was cool as hell. And got to talk to him for a little bit. It was really neat. And yeah, it was just a great, great weekend. And then there was that, and then Avengers.
Should have given him a copy of your book.
I was this close to. I swear to God.
I don't know why you did.
I know. It's because the reason why I did, because again, it was like when we talked to him, he was about to like go out with people, and I was just like, well, what the fuck's he gonna do with it? You know, he's carried around all the time. No, he's not gonna do that. He might end up
going to his publicist. And
there was nobody there. He didn't have a bodyguard. He didn't have anybody. Their manager, Depeche Mode's manager,
well,
was there.
He's pretty beef. I mean, I don't think he needs a bodyguard.
He's not.
Look at him, Twig.
Hey, Twig.
The wind would blow him over.
His hair weighs the most.
Hey, Twig. There's in the captain's quarters. There's a drawer. There's a prototype fin, like what I have on my head. You bring that to me. That's a thumb.
How'd you even get that?
Please tell me you have a refrigerator full of thumbs. No. Let's not speak of this ever again. No, it was really, really awesome. He's a really nice guy. It was really cool. But also at the festival, I'm a shout out to one of our listeners.
That's right. You found somebody.
Thaddeus, who's from Tampa. And we were it was a bunch of us just sitting around waiting to go to Martin Gore's panel. And I was talking to somebody in the group there, and I mentioned the Hodgepodge podcast. And he's like, oh, I heard you mention the Hodgepodge podcast. And he's like, are you Doug? And I'm like, yeah, man. And he's like, oh, man, I totally listened to that. He goes,
The Doug,
yeah.
He's like, I totally listened. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I mean, how random is that?
I got to
go into our RSS feed and see how many listeners we actually have, how many subscribers we actually have. Or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. It's you know, it's something on whatever.
It's water, for whatever.
It's more than that, I think. But anyway. But it's funny. It's funny how
there are tens of us.
Yeah. We're always joking that there's like two listeners or whatever. Yeah. And it's ran into a guy who actually said that's pretty cool. Yeah. Because one time we were at some con or something like that. And I said to somebody, yeah, I have a podcast called the Hodgepodge Podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I've heard of that. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Oh, no, it was at the movie theater. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I think I heard that. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. But then when I run into a guy from Tampa who's listening, I'm like, maybe he did listen to hear about it. So shout out to Thaddeus. Good to meet you, my friend.
He's not listening to this.
He will. Avengers. Yeah, he will.
Eventually.
Eventually he'll get to it.
If I know Thaddeus, and I think I do.
Chip, chop, chip, Thaddeus.
So that was very cool. But yeah, my list of things that I did in order of greatness this weekend was, meeting Martin Gore in the festival, Avengers Endgame, went to Wendy's, and then Game of Thrones' episode last night.
Which people just are dying over, like loving this episode. And I'm just like, look, I'm not the target audience for this because everything about Game of Thrones underwhelms me just because that period drama type. That medieval period drama stuff is not really.
That's not your thing, yeah.
But even outside of that, this episode was underwhelming.
So we've improved the audio because Audacity fucked me and didn't have the right microphone selected. So continue what you were saying. Okay, Game of Thrones. It's not your thing.
Oh yeah, it's not my thing. But even so, last night's episode was underwhelming given what it was supposed to be. I mean, this was the episode that 7 seasons has built up to.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it anyway. And now there are 3 episodes left to do God knows what. all right. Can't wait to see where you're going with this now. Because this is what everything was building up to. It was over in an hour. I mean, I guess over an hour.
And they dragged it out to make an hour.
And they did, right? Because it was... The battle sequences were just kind of standard. I've never seen so much goddamn dialogue throughout between people while a huge battle's going on. But the Night King, God knows what his job is, because he's there and then he's not. I don't know.
Yeah, what a disappointing series villain. Like, just...
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, he was the villain, and.
Yeah.
What did he do? I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway.
Because he's not a Game of Thrones guy, we should probably at the end, you and I should probably do an episode of Game of Thrones to talk about it.
I'd be completely lost.
Yeah. You'd just be like, whatever, boring.
I can do what Matt does every other movie. Yeah, it was great. I read about
it. But, yeah, I mean, the episode definitely had its moments. I mean, there's stuff that I cheered and I enjoyed in it, but overall,
like when the little girl was crushed by the giant,
that's when I cheered. That's when I cheered. I was like, "Yay!"
But
kids dying.
But story wise, it left a lot to be desired. It felt
like a Cliff Notes version. Like everything that they did up until the point where Martin's books had been written felt like, you know. Good, well, you know, maybe not the best storytelling, but really good
solid storytelling.
Right.
Everything since then has been like the Cliff Notes versions of Game of Thrones. Like everything is just so like compacted and thrown together, and we've gotten a lot of good fan service moments, but it really seems like they're rushing through everything.
Yeah, right. You hit the nail on the head when you said they really stretched it to make this an hour and a half.
Yeah,
you're right, because. So much of it just felt like filler.
Yeah.
It almost felt like a filler episode.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, what? Oh, all right. So this is over now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, for as much talk of, like, you know, everybody worrying about their favorite characters dying, the people who died were exactly who everybody predicted would die.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, you know. Nothing you could say would be a spoiler of a death or like something where you're because and I'll tell you why, because they know they have to save that because they still have three episodes fucking left.
Apparently, yeah. That is like what's everything.
But this would almost feel disappointing if this were the finale of a season.
Yeah,
but this was the series. This was the build up of the entire series, 8 seasons.
Yeah,
and you're just like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, the scale of it was incredible, but you know, it's kind of like, it reminds me like of Boyhood, where everybody was like, it took 12 years to make. It's like, yeah, but it's still just an okay movie. It's like, it's, you know, it wasn't great.
It's like if Lord of the Rings had ended in like with Sauron dying in the Two Towers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you going to do in Return of the King now? Like, what? Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, the... You know, it was cool to watch the dragons fight, but that lasted all of a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then you just have the Night King standing there. He never draws a fucking sword.
Nope.
Never does anything.
He
just
walks.
He just walks.
Yeah. And like,
I mean, he is a White Walker. I guess that's what they say.
Yeah.
He's a racist.
What he does.
But the other thing is, too, is that it's, you know, and we'll get into it with Avengers, I guess. It's hard, I guess, to develop a villain when he doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't talk, so it's hard to develop him into be anything more than one dimension.
That would be one thing that Bram would do. But even he couldn't do that.
No, he couldn't do that. Right, and that's another thing. But, you know, here's the thing. That is the problem with this villain, is that if you're not going to make him talk,
mm-hmm.
you need to do a hell of a lot more with him than just have him walk.
Yeah.
Because he can't emote through his voice, so you have to let him do it through these other means, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And like, you see him smile at one point,
yeah.
In this, and then you're like, oh, okay, so he does feel shit.
He can actually react to something,
right? So, like, okay, then why isn't he doing this more?
Yeah.
And yeah, Bran. The best thing I saw was this morning an article that said something to the effect of, yeah, we're all just kidding ourselves if we think Bran's actually going to do anything, right?
I did like a thing I saw somebody posted in this group that I'm in, which is the Michael Jordan logo, but it's Aria. It says Aria. That was funny.
I mean, you know, as much as they built up Jon Snow and Cersei, to me, the series has really been Arya's series.
Yeah.
She's had the biggest arc. She's had the most, probably, screen time.
Well, yeah.
In terms of plot. It's really her story.
But the thing is, I mean, I would say in the books, the four major characters are Tyrion, Jon, Dany, and Arya.
Sure.
She's one of, like, the four main characters.
That's fair. Like, yeah, I don't have...
Followed by Sansa. And Ned, obviously, but Ned was only in the first book, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, even Rob, even
don't
Rob
ask
wasn't.
Me how Jon Snow survives this.
You can say that for a lot of people.
Well, that's true. Everyone. Really.
Pretty much everyone. Though.
Pretty much everyone, yeah.
Including Arya.
What was the deal with, I don't want to get too much into this on the podcast because listeners know, I just don't know enough. What was with the witch at the end?
Oh, Melisandre?
She decided to kill herself?
She's the queen of Deus Ex Machina. And they needed somebody to come in and
do witchy stuff.
Propel the story.
Right,
so
right.
She rode in on a fucking horse, actual horse, to save the day. Both by
to which all she did was start a fire.
Yeah, basically.
Prompted Arya to do what she had to do.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she gave Arya the pep talk.
She got the pep talk. Yeah,
but then
she's like, I've done too much. I must.
Yeah.
Just die.
No, that
now.
Was because she'd served her purpose. She served,
well, I know,
I mean, like,
but a lot
I mean,
of people had. That doesn't mean they just go and die.
But did
she get power from that necklace or something?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember?
Transformed her into, from the old ass woman. Into,
oh,
you know,
right.
Don't you remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so, why she had the white hair when she was walking on.
Right.
Ah, duh.
But come on. I mean, you had to have a nice moment when she says, what do we tell the god of death? And then when Arya says, not today. That was great.
Maybe in two years.
Did that come from somewhere else? Because I knew she was going to say not
today.
Her
instructor.
Her instructor in the first
that's
season.
What it was. Not today.
And what do we tell the
god
of death?
Yeah.
Not today.
Yeah,
all right. that's her thing.
All right. So, yeah, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, kind of disappointing. It was
oh, totally.
a well-made episode, but narratively
it totally deflated my excitement for the rest of the series.
Hopefully they'll win you back in the last three episodes. But
let's hope so.
All right, let's talk about this shitty fucking movie, Avengers Endgame.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. I said it.
Alan's got a burp marker.
For every segue.
Yeah.
We call it the segue burp.
Yeah, we just fast forward from one burp to the next.
We're not done with this section yet.
Preemptive.
For the since 2014, I have always stated that Captain America: The Winter Soldier is, for me, the best Marvel movie. It's my favorite one. Love it. No, it's not that. Dirty A's pointing to a Guardians of the Galaxy poster he has on the wall. Yeah, it's always been my favorite. I think it's the best. It's really tight.
Wolf cop.
Best Avenger.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame might be the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that there is.
It's hard to disagree.
It's, yeah. I mean, I saw, we all saw it together the first night, and it was really good. And I had a little few quibbles with it, which we'll get into, because you really can't talk about the movie without going into spoilers.
No, not even a second.
Yeah, this is going to be spoiler heavy.
Yeah, this will be spoiler heavy. We're giving our non-spoiler thoughts.
Also safe to say that everyone listening to this would have
seen
the movie.
Because it only made $1.2 billion.
Because there are only two people alive that haven't seen it at this point, apparently.
It made more in one weekend than... Yeah. Like, what did Avengers make?
Avengers was, I think, the first movie to cross 200 in the first weekend.
No, but like, all total.
Oh, total? Probably that. Probably $1.2
billion. Yeah, I want to say, like, it made in 4 or 5 days what, like, these other Avenger movies have made in their entire run.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know we've already talked about the money, but that just goes to show what Marvel and later when Disney have done when they set a path and a trajectory and slowly move it forward instead of just going full force into something that does drive profits because it makes the genre. I don't want to say genre, but it makes the material worthier for people to watch.
Well, it permeates the culture. It gets people involved who have not been involved in these types of movies before, and there's something for everybody, I think, for the most part. You know, there are some people who will just write off superhero movies forever, but
yeah, sure.
There's a lot of different types of movies that you can get into, and you can find, there's how many characters now? You can latch on to at least one.
Yeah, exactly.
A few less.
And that's the one thing that, whether or not a single movie in its bubble is good or not, that's the one thing the bigwigs at DC could never grasp is the end game for all this, right? Mm. Moving towards something. Instead of, they just wanted to put out.
Yeah. They wanted that success, like, immediately. And, yeah. But, you know, as far as Endgame goes, I'm in agreement. I can't think of another Marvel movie that could top it.
When we first saw it, I think I was putting it at 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. After, Matt, you and I saw it this next time.
Yeah.
I think it's number one.
It holds up. It improves with subsequent viewings.
Well, it not only improves subsequent viewings of this movie, but it actually adds to and improves movies before it.
Right.
It brings everything together so nicely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not just geeking out and saying that. I'm just, as a film, I just thought it was really good.
It so perfectly wraps up the entire, not just like the Avengers, but it wraps up the entire Marvel Universe up to now.
Up to now, absolutely. And it's not a perfect film. But it does what it set out to do so well.
And I think it exceeded the highest expectations that people had of it. Like, you know,
yes.
You're always going to have naysayers.
Oh, of course. But it's like people had such high hopes for this movie.
Yeah.
And they had, it was so risky.
You're just not seeing a lot of people let down by it.
No, not at all.
I mean, it was, the last 30 minutes alone are just incredible.
Okay. I clocked it in, the battle sequence is right at, if not just over 20 minutes.
Okay.
And it is
probably
one of, if not the best sci-fi battle sequences I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up there with Return of the Jedi, final space battle.
Yeah.
Because that's still the best. No matter how much they do CGI, that's still the best space battle ever. But yeah, this was incredible. Just because, I mean, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. But how Marcus and McFeely and the Russos just really constantly ratcheted it up, and then it was constant, like, you know, this is the black moment. No, wait, this is the black moment. No, this is the black moment. Oh, no, they're fucked now. It's like, you know.
But I'm surprised that you, I did not expect this to top Winter Soldier.
Because when I saw it the first time, I was like, it's not better than Winter Soldier. But the second time I saw it, I was just like, this movie is just awesome. Hmm. It's, and the thing you don't really notice, I would say the first time you see, at least for me, I noticed it, but I didn't really notice it until the second time. Just how funny this movie is.
Oh yeah, I noticed it.
It's so funny. I mean, like, there's so many. Rocket is fucking hilarious.
Did you say this is better than Winter Soldier for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's number one.
Good. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We kind of. I didn't think we'd all agree on that.
I mean, well, number one, it's always gonna be The Dark World. Always, The Dark World will always be number one.
Well, that's like above
that's like with an asterisk because it's always
that's zero. Yeah. That's at zero. That's right. Movie zero.
Yeah.
But no, the movie, even the first time around, I knew how funny the movie was, and I thought almost it was weighing too funny.
Right.
The first time I saw it, because the first quarter to a third of it is, it's very much weighted heavily on comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh no, they're doing a weird tone with this. But then I had to remember, it's a long movie. There's a lot to go. It's just pacing itself differently than I would have seen another movie of this style pace itself, because it's 3 hours long.
Right.
Yeah.
That said, after seeing it twice now, at neither showing, and that's twice as in within 24 hours of each other.
Yeah.
At neither showing did I feel like I was sitting there for 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh no.
And that is amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. The only time I checked my watch in the first screening is because I'm just like, they have enough time to get to all this stuff? Do they have enough time to get to all this stuff? Yeah. So
the Russos paced it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Very well.
For a 3-hour movie, it did not feel like a 3-hour. I mean,
I'm not saying it didn't feel long. It's long.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like I wasn't churning. I wasn't like, I got to get out of here.
There wasn't a lot of fat on it.
Yeah.
No. Right.
Everything felt like it earned its place in being there, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all in agreement. It's the best one. Now, let's get into spoilers.
And Guardians is second. All in agreement. We're all in agreement there.
I would actually put Civil War up there.
Nah. Civil War? No. Nah. I would put Iron Man ahead of Civil War, actually.
He just loves Spider-Man.
he does, and that's fine.
Up until this movie, it was the best battle sequence of any Marvel movie.
Yeah, but you can't base it all on the battle sequence, though.
Well, no, but I'm saying like that. I mean, it's
that's fair.
It's the intro to Spider-Man. It's got one of the best battle scenes ever. It's got it continues the Winter Soldier storyline, and it introduces Black Panther. I think it's got a great villain. I love that movie.
Yeah, Zemo's. No, I'm not. I like Civil War, but
he's one of the few Marvel villains that won.
If we get into that, that was my only quibble with Civil War. I wish he didn't die.
He didn't die.
Zemo.
He didn't.
No, they put him in prison.
He tried to kill him.
Oh, that's right. He tried to kill him. That's right.
Yeah, he did.
You're right.
But Black Panther stopped him.
Black Panther did stop him. That's right.
Yeah, we're not going to get into Civil War again.
All right, yeah. All right, so
spoiler time. Do you want to burp?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Okay, so the movie starts out as the trailers did with... Well, it starts out with Hawkeye pre-snap. With his family, and then sure enough, oof, they all vanish. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. It's very powerful when he turns around and you just see the ashes of his daughter.
Yeah. And then he turns around again, and then the wife and the kid, the two boys are gone. Then it cuts to Tony and Nebula in space, which Tony is like, yeah, I'm going to die, but they still have some lighthearted moments, like when he's teaching her paper football.
That's funny.
Nope, don't do that.
She tries to attack it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we don't need to do that.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. This movie saved Nebula for me. Because
I was going to say that.
From the beginning, because I did the full rewatch. I watched all the movies before this movie. And I still could not stand her in Guardians 1. I could not stand her in Guardians 1.
I wanted to bring that up to you and see how you felt about her. After
Guardians 2... I liked her. I liked how that arc went better, but still, it was just like, the thing that killed me about Guardians 2 was just how nobody got hurt, basically. Like, everyone was like, I'm Kal-El from Krypton. I'm just like, no, you're not. They're strong characters, but they're not indestructible. And then in Infinity War, she plays a bigger part, but she's more of a key part, not a big part. But she's a big part of this, and she was really good. Karen Gillan did a great job.
They actually gave her a good arc.
Yeah, they did. She had a great arc in this. And so she was really good. But Tony and Nebula are stuck in space, and I think as I predicted a long time ago.
Everyone predicted.
No, because people didn't know how it was going to happen. But instantly, Captain Marvel shows up and saves them.
Pulls them back down to Earth to the Avengers headquarters.
And then Tony is still mad at Cap.
Dude, how well though did they make Tony look just emaciated? Oh yeah. It was amazing.
It's been 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks since Infinity War. He was so frail. Yeah,
and it was that scene was so powerful where he's so frail but yelling and mad at Cap, and then rips out his arc reactor and falls to the ground. Like that shit was nuts.
Yeah. So then the Avengers figure out where Thanos is.
Pretty quickly. You're like, oh, well, this is a quick 3 hours.
Yeah. And then they go and they find out that Thanos uses the stones again to destroy the stones. And then Thor chops his fucking head off.
What did you do? I went for the head.
Yeah. Then the movie cuts.
Which is a callback to Infinity War. Because he said you should have gone for the head.
Right. And then the movie cuts to 5 years later. And it's really eerie. They come in on New York. It's real eerie. There's like nobody around. They mentioned that the world governments are in disarray. Cap is basically, was he running Falcon's group? Because that was in DC.
No, yeah, it wasn't Falcon's group. It was just a support group.
He was just doing a little support group while Black Widow was manning the Avengers
comms for the Avengers, right? And then, here's one of the biggest gripes I did have with the movie.
Are you talking about Ant-Man?
Yes,
that was dumb. Why didn't you just have? I just don't get it. Like, why you could have had like kids playing around in there,
yeah,
stealing the truck,
something like
right,
that,
stealing
right,
the truck,
right,
and then
right,
they turn it on. But you this yeah, happenstance of a rat
yeah,
turning
yeah,
on and pressing the right buttons, that was a little much.
Yeah. It's just a strange thought.
Yeah,
with the rat, yeah, he knew it
yeah, all along. The one
there was one moment in time,
yeah,
where
that was it.
Would crawl across yeah, that console.
I mean, it just seems to me like that was a little sloppy.
That was,
when
yeah,
you could have easily had just kids hot wiring a van or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So basically, a rat runs across the all of Scott Lang's shit is in like a storage fence off area, and including Luis's van, which had the quantum tunnel in it, and a rat literally runs across the dashboard, hits the control panel, and then Scott Lang gets tossed out. He's totally discombobulated. He doesn't know what the hell happened. And we find out that apparently Thanos' snap also soap operaizes characters, because his daughter went from 8, not to 13, but to like 17.
17 or 18. 18. Yeah. That was a weird jolt.
Yes.
But you also find out, you go to find out pretty quickly that, well, while it's been 5 years for mm-hmm, Scott Lang, it's only been 5 hours.
Yeah, it's only been 5 hours. So,
well, 5 years for us, five hours for Scott Lang.
Right,
correct.
Right.
Sorry.
So man, he goes to New York because he's in San Francisco. He goes to New York and then gets with Cap and Black Widow, and he thinks that they might be able to go back in time to fix it.
Back to the future.
Right, through the quantum realm. So, who's the biggest, smartest guy they know? They go to Tony Stark, who is now...
Who's the next biggest, smartest guy they know?
who's now married to Pepper Potts, and they have a kid, which they did name Morgan, but it's a daughter, not a son. And Tony Stark doesn't want anything to do with it because
He's got a family.
He's got everything he wants now. So then they go to the next biggest...
It's not only he's got everything he wants, but he's very disillusioned now. Like, he feels he's failed. He's failed the world. He's failed his family.
Well, it's not just that. It's because he doesn't want to risk what he's got.
He doesn't want to risk.
Yeah, he doesn't want to risk what he's got. So, because he does say to them, he goes, "I wish you asked me for something else." He goes, "But you know, he's good to see everybody." But you know, sorry. So then they go to the next biggest brain they know, which is Bruce Banner, who has, in the 5 years since, merged the Hulk and Bruce Banner into one entity. So now it's Professor Hulk,
which is great. Which was great to see.
Which was great.
I'm glad that they finally got him in there. And of course, I guess now that's who he'll be now.
Wait a second.
I don't know. Can he change now?
No, because that's it. That's it.
All right.
So he, that scene was hilarious too. They meet him in a diner.
Oh.
And then these kids come up to him and go, "Hey, Mr. Hulk, can you take a picture with us?" He's like, "Oh, sure." And then Ant-Man goes, "Hey, you want a picture with me? I'm Ant-Man." They're like, and this one kid starts shaking hands. He goes, he's literally saying no.
Because the Hulk tries to
encourage them.
No,
yeah.
No, he wants a picture with you. He wants you guys to take a picture with him. Go ahead. Don't hurt his feelings. Scott Lang's like, that was literally shaking his head no.
Yeah.
That was so fucking funny.
This is not a big deal. I'm maybe like one of the few people that noticed it, but one of the kids in there was Joe Russo's kid.
Oh, really?
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he also looks directly in the camera.
Oh, really?
A little breaks the fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah. He like he you can see he's like, they're not supposed to, of course, but he just kind of like and then looks back.
Catch that again on my fifth viewing.
Yeah. So, the Hulk thinks he can. It's not really his area. He tries to help them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he thinks he can.
Right.
He's willing to.
He's willing to try.
Yeah.
And
then.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, Rocket and Nebula are flying around space trying to, what are they doing out there? They're just trying to like help out like where there's problems.
Yeah.
Because in the wake of the snap, Captain Marvel's out there.
Oh man, how about that scene though when they get together?
Oh, when he comes back, yeah, oh. Yeah, I know. Okoye is basically running Wakanda by herself now, and Rhodey is looking for Barton, who has basically become a murdering psychopath.
Yeah. See, I'd say more he's keeping tabs on Barton. He's not really looking for him. He is also doing his part as a military man.
Right.
Well, he was investigating a crime, and it turned out to be.
Yeah. But he did say, "I don't want to find it." Because I don't want to find it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
So.
But of course, Black Widow.
Yeah, of course she wants to find him.
Because she's in love with everybody.
Yes. Except Cap.
So.
The Hulk's time travel test doesn't go through too well.
No. It was an absolute triumph. Yeah. It was nothing but positive, as you said.
Time travel!
I see this as nothing more than complete success.
And then...
Someone peed my suit. I don't know if it was old me,
baby me, or maybe just me.
Tony, meanwhile, couldn't let it lie, so he cracks time travel.
This was the point other than the rat that really stuck with me, got in my crawl a little bit, was that in 48 hours he cracks time travel, and I feel like
all it took Emmett Brown was a crack on his head on the toilet.
Well, and then 20 years on top of that, or 30 years on top. Yeah,
the only thing I'll say is that he didn't have the technology. Hank Pym did half the work for him.
That's true.
Hank Pym got him into the quantum realm.
That's fair.
Yeah. At that point, he only had to figure out like how to, a GPS is what he called it, basically. Yeah. So,
but again, very small sticking point. But to me, in my head, it feels like it would have worked better. And I talked with you about this. If he had been working on this for 5 years, so you know, maybe Scott comes back earlier or something like that, and he's working on it for years rather than a couple of days. It just kind of stuck with me a little bit. Really, you're going to say you solve time travel, that you've only been working on this for 24 hours, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I did it.
He's really smart. Yeah. So,
sorry, but how they don't use this in every other movie to defeat every villain from here on out will be beyond me. Good luck explaining why they don't do that.
True.
But that's every time travel paradox ever.
Yeah, but they do go into that too a little bit.
I couldn't. That's the one thing.
They've used up all the Pym particles at this point, haven't they?
Oh yeah, maybe they have. The last
one. No, but
that
But Hank Pym's back.
Yeah Pym's back. So everyone's back. The thing is,
maybe he dies.
That was the one thing I couldn't quite figure out, and I did not try to care too much about it, but I couldn't figure out, because they explained it so fast, their rules for time travel.
Basically,
I know that they say that no matter what you do in the past, you can't actually affect
the past,
the future,
right?
The future, which is why you know Cap's able to do what he does.
Right.
We'll talk about that and some other things.
But see,
it didn't quite jive with me because I couldn't figure it out.
Somebody mentioned on a thread I was on that we'll get to it because yeah, but basically they explain it because Rhodey says, why don't we go back in time and just kill baby Thanos. And the way he did it was hilarious. The Hulk's like, that's horrible. But basically he says, you going in the past is your future. So it's not, it's like it would just create another reality, I guess, is what they're saying.
All.
Yeah,
splinter off another reality. Like what the ancient one tells him later.
Yeah, so Tony comes back, he brings back Cap his shield, and then they start to work on this project. They call back everybody. Carol can't come because she's busy quelling shit all over the galaxy.
Which would make sense. I mean,
right, because I was watching Red Letter Media, and they didn't like it nearly as much as we did, but they're not really big Marvel guys anyway. But they were like, oh yeah, like she's not even in it. She barely, and I'm just like, yeah, but that's how they took her off the board, basically, because she, and even though Thanos put up a good fight against her, she's super powerful.
She's the most powerful being in the fucking universe. So yeah.
they had to limit her somehow.
Like, it's funny in the end when they did the gratuitous, how are you going to get over there? She'll have help. It's like, oh, actually, does she really need the help? Because I don't know what you guys are really going
to
do.
The best when he tries
to... She's speeding past all of them anyway.
The best is when he tries to headbutt her.
Yeah. That was fucking great. That and the right afterwards when he just takes the stone off. Oh, shit.
So anyway, so everybody comes back. Rocket and Nebula come back. Rhodey comes back. And then the Hulk and Rocket go to new Asgard, which was basically set up in Ragnarok, which is in Norway. They go to go pick up Thor, who has gone through some changes in the last 5 years.
Changes.
Turning
Easter donuts.
We're right there with the donuts. Yeah.
Thor has basically let himself go over the last 5 years.
I like the allusion to it happening when they show, when they're all sitting there at the beginning, like before 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
He's just sitting in front of a bowl of fucking rolls. And I didn't notice it until the second time I saw that. It's like, it's just this big bowl of carbs in front of him. And he's
so he's let himself go. He's rooming with Korg and Meek, who made it out alive. Korg likes to play video games. And eventually they convince Thor to come with them.
Because they have beer.
Because they have beer. Jesus. And then basically the Avengers set up their plan. And that what they're going to do is they've kind of... narrowed down. Oh, and then of course, Black Widow goes to get Hawkeye.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
is your pee break, by the way. If you're looking for a spot to go pee.
Oh my god, how many articles did they have to write about that?
No.
Like, stop it already.
All the articles. Yeah.
So.
This was a lot of this was Hawkeye's movie.
It was a lot of people's movie.
Yeah. I mean,
Cap, Iron Man.
Honestly.
Cap, Iron Man, Hawkeye, Nebula.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, and I have to wonder if this was a subtle dig from the Russo brothers. Did you notice the Japanese guy he was fighting?
Yeah.
With the sword.
Yeah,
with
the
sword
from
fight.
The Wolverine.
Right.
Yeah.
Shingen, who, that's how the Wolverine movie should have ended, with them fighting
with
swords.
Fighting
the
swords.
That's how it
was
in a limited series. I think they did that on purpose. Maybe. To be like, yeah, fuck you. You fucked up that movie. Fox.
Also, I felt he was asking for help a little late after his throat struck.
Yeah.
Like, you're asking for mercy now?
Help me, please.
Help me, please. I'm like, well, you're dead now. No.
Help me, please. How are you even talking? I didn't go deep enough. Come here. So what they do is they determine that the time periods where the different stones are, they figured out that three are in New York at one time. And so then they split up into teams. And Cap, Ant-Man and Iron Man and the Hulk go to New York circa 2012, which is messed up from the timeline,
what,
I think, a little
14?
Bit.
14?
12.
It's 12.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is going back to the original Avengers movie.
Right.
And they're going to try and get the mind, space, and time stones.
Mm-hmm.
Nebula and Rhodey are going to...
Well, technically... I guess they all go together, and then two of them.
Yeah, Black Widow.
They bring. Hold on, because we got to get to. That's the last one I want to do.
I'm saying they all went together.
They all go to
So Rocket and Thor go to Asgard circa 2013 to get the Aether, and I was actually surprised they got Natalie Portman to be in this. I mean, she doesn't really do much, but she's.
Do you think? It's possible that was just old footage.
No. It was her. Yeah, because she's in the credits. They put her in the credits.
Well, I know it's her, but I'm saying it could have been Old footage from the Darth Vader movies. Because she didn't interact with anybody, and all they had to do was show Rocket's head come up.
Yeah, so maybe. You're right. Yeah, maybe it's
probably
it is.
Footage maybe that they is. Didn't yeah. use before.
But anyway, so, and then in 2014, you have Rhodey and Nebula going to Morag to go knock out Peter Quill and take the Power Stone.
So basically, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, as everybody in the theater should have figured out, Black Widow and Hawkeye are going to Vormir, yeah. which none of the characters know what awaits them there. No. Because
but
none of the characters...
the four of them go
right.
together.
They go to Morag first, and then they go to Vormir. They take the ship to Vormir.
I want to come back to Vormir when we're done with the wrap-up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's one thing that I was thinking about.
Okay.
That.
All right. So, the New York one is... pretty much a heist caper. Well, no, not for the Hulk. The Hulk goes to Bleecker Street to go talk to Doctor Strange, who's not there yet, obviously. But he does meet with Tilda Swinton's Ancient One, and then they have a debate about why he needs to take the Time Stone.
An astral debate.
And when she knocked Banner out of the Hulk's body, I thought for sure the Hulk was going to start going crazy.
Yeah.
One of the funniest moments in the entire movie, which I will spoil for you, I'm sorry, is when the Hulk...
We haven't spoiled anything.
Yeah.
Is when the Hulk goes off by himself and Captain America says, yeah. you might want to smash a few things to make it look good.
And seems the Hulk, kind of gratuitous, but okay.
He literally goes, and like beats on the taxi a little bit and then like kind of like limply tosses a motorcycle aside because he's just beyond it now. He's just beyond that.
Gratuitous, but all right.
He gets, they do see the Hulk and he gets real embarrassed with how much he smashes.
Yeah.
So the Hulk goes to Bleecker Street and has an astral debate with the Ancient One, and then the other three go to Avengers Tower to try and get the other two stones, the Tesseract and the...
I thought for sure...
The Mind Stone.
I thought for sure when he was talking to her about the Time Stone and she was explaining how the stones work together that they were going for your theory of creating the multiverse.
Mm.
I thought for sure. I mean, she was explaining the fucking multiverse.
Right.
I was like, aha, here we go. And, you know, it's not that it won't go there at some point.
Yeah,
clearly,
she did explain how that could be created.
Yes.
But ultimately, she said that you can't do that. Like, you would leave us open to...
She said you can do that, but please don't, because it will leave everyone vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the other three, Cap, who has a fantastic adventure on his own.
Fucking hilarious.
That is America's ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was great. Although that is completely incorrect, because... Captain Marvel's ass is America's ass.
She's the universe's ass.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That
was so funny.
So,
could do this all day.
Yeah, I know. Tony and Ant-Man fuck up, and Loki gets his hands on the Tesseract.
They do fuck up. Not really their fault, per se.
No, but, yeah. And then Loki gets a hold of the Tesseract, and then he vanishes. Soon to be appearing on Disney Plus's Loki TV show.
So they gave him his death out.
Yeah.
So
that's how he gets out.
Yeah.
And then he
was funny though in the little bit that he was in there where he's just like sees it happening. He's
he totally did the Homer Simpson going into the bushes. He was like,
yeah.
He's like, bye.
He's like, oh, what's going on here? I'm not going to say anything. And then
yeah. Well, he couldn't. He had the thing on his face.
Then he just picks it up. He's like, all right,
bye. So then Cap and then Iron Man has an idea and he says, yeah, that's where the line comes into, you trust me, I do. And then he and Cap go off on their own. We'll come back to that in a second.
The parallel elevator scene in this was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh God.
And a nice nod to the comics.
Very nice nod to the comics.
Oh, was that in the comic?
Oh, yes.
But in a controversial way.
Oh. Yeah, in a very controversial way. Then on Asgard, Rocket basically has to talk Thor into trying to get his confidence back. The most important thing that happens here is that Thor has a heart-to-heart with his mother, who he never got to say goodbye to, Rene Russo. It was great to see her come back. And then also he brings Mjolnir with him.
Yeah, that was great.
Because he wanted to know if he was still worthy.
His arc was weird for me. Not in a bad way. It's just that it was surprising that he took it so hard because he's not even from Earth. He's not, you know, he's
because a guardian, so because he actually had the power to kill Thanos before he did the snap, and then he fucked up basically.
Yeah. He could have stopped it all.
He could have stopped it all.
Well, so could Peter, but you know.
Well, yeah, Peter's too stupid to take responsibility for it. So.
Yeah, he you're right. That's it. He realizes that he had the kill shot.
And right. Didn't take it. So they do that, and then and Rocket's hilarious as always. And then on Morag, Rhodey and Nebula are basically just waiting for Peter Quill to show up so they can knock him out and take the Power Stone.
I was waiting for that moment.
Yeah,
fucking, I knew exactly where they were going to cut in on.
and then what happens is Rhodey leaves. He goes sync up, and then what happens is Thanos stops Nebula from leaving because she has synced up with her 2014 self, right, and they're on the same network. And now Thanos is clued into what's going on.
But how about even here, right before that happens, her and Rhodey even share a moment.
Yeah.
She's like, I wasn't always like this.
Yeah.
He's like, we work with what we got.
Yeah. He's like, me neither.
Yeah.
Then Nat and Clint are going to Vormir.
Well, there's somebody else with Nebula and Thanos.
Oh, right, yes. So this is 2014 Thanos.
Yeah.
So who is with them, of course? Well, they're Nebula. They're Nebula.
Yeah, 2014
and of course,
Nebula.
And of course, Gamora.
2014 Gamora.
2014 Gamora.
And you want to keep that in mind going forward. So Nat and Clint go to Vormir. You know what's going to happen. One of them has to die.
But they don't.
But they don't know that. No, and that's the thing, because
nobody in the planning.
They knew the series of events, but they didn't know what actually happened. They knew that Thanos and Gamora went there,
and
they
Gamora didn't come back.
They knew Thanos was the only one who came back, but they didn't. No one understood the dynamic of what had to happen.
Right, exactly. For all they knew, Gamora tried to stop him, and he killed her.
That's right.
You know, just for getting in his way, but he had to kill her. And so one of them has to go. You're not sure who it's going to be. And Black Widow ends up sacrificing herself.
Wait, no.
Oh yeah, spoilers. But it was nice. It was kind of cool. Like, you knew one of them was going to die. You didn't know which one.
Right.
They both wanted to be the one who died.
Right.
Well, this was another one of those scenes where the Russos killed it. Because what they realize is, as directors, what I've seen that they realize in these movies is to really pull the emotion out of the audience, you have to bring them from one high to a complete low. And they made this scene, they actually made you laugh at it for a second there.
Yeah.
When they were kind of just kicking it around and, like, you know, asking this guy, oh, you still here? Like, what you know? And you kind of, you get the feel, you're joking with them a little bit.
Mm.
And then immediately you come down to the realization of, even though you knew it, what's going to happen.
They realize it.
Yeah,
they realize what has to happen. And, it was so well done. You know, they start fight, like, physically fighting over who is going to
die.
Because
the reason why, because obviously Nat wants Hawkeye to go back with his
family.
Yeah. And then he doesn't because he feels that he can't come back from where he's
been.
He
doesn't feel he deserves it anymore, right, because he's kind of gone into a dark place.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she sacrifices herself, which guarantees that her movie that's coming out next year will be a prequel. Which kind of sucks, but I have a theory on what's going to happen with that. It's called Florence Pugh is going to be the new Black Widow at some point. And that's great because she's a really good actress too. She was the girl in Little Drummer Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is good.
Yeah, she's good. So, that happens, and then
real powerful.
Yeah. Back to Cap and Tony. They need more Pym particles if they're going to, because that's what the whole heist is based on.
It was six stones or nothing.
Right. It was six
and
stones or nothing.
They only had enough Pym particles
for one round trip for each of them. So they needed more
Pym tests.
Right.
One test. Fucking crap.
So they need one test. They need to get the Tesseract, and they need to get more Pym particles.
Yeah.
So then they go to the past. They go even farther into the past, into 1970, mm-hmm, because Tony believes that Howard Stark and Hank Pym will be at basically where Cap, where the Winter Soldier, where they found the S.H.I.E.L.D. bunker. He believes that they'll be there at the same time.
And I was asking Matt about this because I wasn't sure. Was that possibly the day of the dad's death?
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't die until.
How did he know?
Was that 1991 that he died?
Oh, that was
yeah,
a lot.
He, yeah, okay. Yeah. He didn't
I
die
wondered
until.
How did he know? How was he so certain that
he said he had an idea.
He said he had a very good idea.
Because it was right before Tony was born, so he knew. So he knew that's where he was at. That
he knew
time.
That's where he was born.
Right.
Okay, that's what he meant by that statement.
Right.
Okay. All
so.
Right.
Yeah,
duh. Because Tony, of course, knew his dad.
Yeah, yeah. So they go there. And Tony gets to have a nice moment with John Slattery as his father. And Cap is in charge of going to get the Pym particles where he finds Peggy, Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
And he's clearly longing for the past that...
Again...
And he kind of brands her through the window.
Yeah, again, this is another one of those almost... if I'm picking things apart, the coincidental rat moment, right? Because if anything, I would think... he would have diverged off the plan to go hunt her out to see her rather than just oopsing into her office to hide.
He might not have known that she was there at
Have, what I'm saying is diverging to go find out because he would probably been aware that she would have been around.
I don't know.
But it was just,
Cap,
it was kind of creepy to see him looking through a window and it's like... All she got to do is look up, man. She's not very good at this detective.
He's so mission driven, though. I don't.
Yeah, Cap. Yeah, that's Cap's.
Okay,
Cap's
that's
so fair. He's so focused on the mission
until the end,
right?
So anyway,
selfish bastard,
but son of a bitch.
I figure I get some of that life. Tony would tell me to get. So
so they come away with what they
right.
What
they so they get the fucking stones, and
with the exception of that.
Right. We wanted that.
Which you know that
everybody
affected,
takes real hard.
That affected everybody too.
The team.
And
Professor, then
Professor Hulk's all sad because
yeah,
that
yeah,
was
well,
his lady.
Yeah,
love,
sure, okay.
And which was always weird. Thor was even madder because he's now feels like he is responsible indirectly for another loss.
Right.
And he can't grasp the whole time thing. It's like, why can't we just go back and bring her back?
Yeah, with the stones.
And that's again where one of the rules comes into play. This death happened
to get the
before
stone.
The stone, and to get the stone, and you can't take it back.
No, it's not that. It's actually
the soul stone because you can't come back from what,
right.
What's gone is gone when you go to get that soul stone.
Right. Marcus and McFeely said it in an interview. I think it was with Collider or somebody in Collider just piggybacked on it, but that they said that if basically. Yeah, you could bring her back, but then you lose the stone.
You don't have the stone.
But then you lose
and
the stone.
So, yeah.
So it's,
but
yeah.
Man,
so.
Like when Hawkeye's like, you go take your fucking hammer up there and you go talk to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal. But also great because, you know, it shows just how.
There are stakes.
Well developed these characters are and the stakes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, so good.
So,
so
Hulk,
at this point, they have all the stones.
They have all the stones. They decide that. Oh, and we forgot the other part. Nebula. 2014
oh, right.
Nebula has switched places
right.
with 2023 Nebula. So she's going to go get the stones for Thanos.
2024 Nebula.
2023. Yeah, because...
Oh, because it happened in 2018. The snap happened in 2018.
And then 5 years later.
Later.
I think
yeah.
so, yeah.
So 2023 Nebula.
Yes, because it's 2018.
She seems roundabout. Oh, well, at first I thought, upon first viewing, she seems roundabout about getting these stones. Like, why didn't she immediately grab it? But she had to set up the entrance for Thanos to come in.
Right.
Because, I guess. Because
there was probably no
coordinates
way.
Because he's still in the past.
Because she gave him
Pym
particles.
Pym particles, right.
So there was no way for her to get to him.
That's right.
So he had to come to her.
That's right.
So. They decide that Hulk should wear the gauntlet. It's an Iron Man gauntlet. And they decide that he should wear it because he's physically
Thor
able to handle
Ford
it.
A little bit.
Right.
Yeah, but Thor is a drunk and they don't trust him.
And
probably smart idea.
He's basically like the drunk guy going, I really want to have this responsibility.
Yeah.
If you're...
He's basically
Randy Quaid from Independence Day.
He's basically the Big Lebowski.
Yes.
He's the Big Lebowski.
Yes. I mean, it was clear that's where they're going. But
yeah.
I was it you? Oh yeah. I said he looks like the Big Lebowski,
and then
comes Tony Stark going, "Hey Lebowski,
get out of the way!"
I was like, "Ah."
So Hulk does the snap, and Tony makes sure to tell him, "Bring everybody back to now." But keep everything as it is otherwise. Yeah. Hulk does the snap. Scott goes out to see that there's more birds outside. And he's like, hey, I think it worked. And then you see right before Hulk that
guy's wife.
Oh yeah. That was, geez, I was like, and also cause it's Linda Cardellini. And
keep in mind, these people don't realize it's 5 years later at this point.
Right. Yeah.
She just
woke up in a field and she's just like, what the fuck's going on?
Just bring them back as is to now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what Tony said. Yeah.
That's what Tony said. That you have to bring them back as is to this point in time.
Right.
So that's what he does. And then you find out later, Hulk does say, I tried really hard to bring that back and it just
wouldn't let me. So, Thanos' his ship comes and he bombs the shit out of the Avengers base.
And enter the big battle.
Like, and then...
Because you were saying Scott Lang sees the birds and stuff. He's looking out the window. And then... What you see then is the missile comes down and hits him basically like first. And I was like, how did he survive this? But on second viewing...
Yeah,
he shrinks.
I saw that too.
He shrinks down right before the missile
hits. I saw that. I saw that on second viewing too. Yeah. Because that's what I said too.
It's very quick.
I was like, how is he not dead? Like, yeah. I mean, so...
he basically cockroached it.
Yeah, you know, right. So now this is the big battle,
At one point, Nebula steals the gauntlet away from Hawkeye.
Right, Hawkeye has it, and he's playing cat and mouse with those creatures, those demon dogs or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Thanos' pets.
Yeah, from Infinity War, and No, she ripped that thing apart. And then Gamora and present day Nebula,
who is on the Thanos' ship as a prisoner.
Right. They come to an agreement because basically Nebula convinces her. She's like, look, she goes, we become sisters and Thanos is gonna fuck you up and all this stuff.
That might have been a little quick, but it had to be.
That
would have slowed things down way too much.
Gamora, in secret, had already been plotting to get rid of Thanos.
True. Right. Well, even,
or at least escape.
You even realize in this one that even Nebula's like telling Gamora, you realize what happens when he gets all these stones, right?
Yeah.
Like, even Nebula's telling Gamora that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that we really want him to have these stones.
Yeah. So, that happens, and then Ant-Man's got to go help Hulk and Rocket and Rhodey, who are basically drowning because that's one of the sacrifices, I guess, that the Hulk made. He's strong, but he's not as strong as old Hulk used to be.
Sure, yeah. You can tell he's not as big.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a happy medium, but yeah, he's not as strong.
Right, so, and then Cap, Thor, and Iron Man go to fight Thanos, and, the greatest moment in Marvel Cinematic history happens when Thor, basically he kicks all their asses.
Dude, and I can't even imagine what it felt like for you guys who read the comics and know this stuff and have been, like, for me, just the movie guy, it was awesome. But
And so he's about to kill Thor, basically, with his own axe. And then Mjolnir
lifts off the ground.
You basically see it hit Thanos in the head.
It lifts off the ground and then it hits Thanos and then it flies back and it's caught by Captain America.
And he's just holding it.
And he's holding it.
And then cut to Thor, who's going, I knew it.
Yeah. I mean, it is like nerd tears of joy at that point.
And then he calls down the thunder.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Cap starts kicking his ass.
Yeah.
Eventually, of course, Thanos overpowers him because Thanos is, you know, ridiculous. He's Thanos. And, that scene is... I mean, the movie is worth it just for that scene alone.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it's like...
Maybe the single best comic book movie moment.
I want a poster of Cap holding Mjolnir with the lightning...
It gets to the other comic book moment, which we'll come to in a second, but with Mjolnir, where he's holding it aloft.
And then Thanos fucks him up. And then
morally fucks him up.
Splits the shield. He cracks the top of the shield off.
Cuts it in half, basically.
And then Cap, of course, he doesn't say it, but he's thinking it. I can do this all day. And he gets up.
Which, by the way, I thought that was the moment. I was like, Cap's dead.
Yeah.
I did too. I was like, clearly, this is the... And this is what they showed in the trailer where he's got the bloody mouth.
Right.
You're like, clearly this is the death scene of Cap.
Yeah.
And then he has his own Helm's Deep moment where... on his earwig, he hears Sam crackle. And he goes, Sam, Cap, this is Steve, this is Sam, on your left. And then a Doctor Strange portal starts opening.
And then another one.
Well, first what happens is then, who comes through that first
portal? Black Panther's first.
Black Panther, Shuri, and Okoye come out.
With Falcon.
And then Falcon flies in. And then all the Wakanda people come in. Then there's another one. Then there's another one. Another one. And there's like 50 or 60 portals. Yeah.
Well,
and
it's like Wong is bringing the people from Wakanda, and Doctor Strange is bringing the group from Titan.
Right.
And clearly, Doctor Strange coordinated it.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Of course.
He's clearly gone through and told everyone, "This is where we need you now."
Right. And everybody. Right. And then and everybody comes and shows up.
Even Pepper.
That was a little dumb. But I mean they do foreshadow it, but it's still dumb.
I know they do. That.
But the reason why all these people have shown up is because once Thanos is about to kill Cap, he brings his whole fucking army comes down from his ship.
And he has probably my favorite Thanos moment.
Yeah.
Right there, where he's like, you know, in all my years of conquest, it's never been personal. But now
I'm gonna enjoy this annoying planet.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna enjoy this very, very much.
It was very similar to the speech he gave in Wakanda about talking about how it's not personal.
He kind of did that,
or maybe he was on Titan when he did that.
Wasn't that line in the Infinity War trailer?
About not being personal.
Yeah,
I could have sworn it was in.
It sounded so familiar. They had previewed it.
I'm sure that he said something very similar in it.
Oh no, no, it was a smile. Brings a smile to my face.
That's what he said. Brings a smile to my face.
Yeah.
But
it was like in.
And then Spider-Man comes in from Titan with Strange.
Right. And the Guardians. And then. I was going to say shit. So, Red Letter Media was they talked about Thanos and they're like, oh, because you know he loses all the character development and stuff like that. I'm like, I disagree. This is a more ruthless Thanos now.
Yeah.
Because even though he was ruthless in Infinity War, he had loss and stuff like that. Now he doesn't even know what that's going to happen.
And he had this plan where, which in a demented way you could. Sort of see made sense.
Right.
And this one, he even talks about it when they first confront him after he's bombed everything.
Right.
And he says, I've got to thank you guys because you've shown me that, you know, killing half of you is not going to be enough because there will always be those that resist it. So I'm going to have to take this universe down to its last fucking molecule and rebuild completely.
So, which
was the perfect plot point. Like, that from who he was, that's exactly where he would have gone.
If only there was another villain in another epic series that could have articulated his plot the same way. Anyway.
But we were talking about the comic moments. This is what I was referring to, where Cap holds up Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And for the first time...
Finally.
We get his classic Avengers Assemble line. He's like holding up Mjolnir. Yeah. I mean, it was fucking
incredible. They're all behind him.
The whole team is behind him. And then
ensue the battle with Thanos, which is just
who's got his Black Order back.
Which is amazing. Yeah. And then of course, last to enter.
Well, wait. I there were a couple other things I loved because Hawkeye shows up with the gauntlet,
right?
And they're trying to get it. They're trying to get it away from there, and they're trying to get it into the van to go to the quantum realm again.
Yes.
So.
Because in Thanos' entry and he destroyed the machine.
Their
last option is the van.
So it's basically like a baton race as they're trying to get this thing. you get Black Panther, who says, Clint, give it to me.
Yeah.
And, like, it's at that moment that you're like, Black Panther's an Avenger now. This is awesome.
Right.
Spider-Man gets it, and then... As Dirty A was alluding to.
Scarlet Witch comes in, beats the shit out of things.
Oh my god, I thought she was going to kill.
I thought she was going to rip him in half.
I was like, this is the first time we get to see her at full force, her full power.
She beats
her true potential.
Yes.
Oh man, he's like,
she was so close to killing him.
Yeah, I don't even know who you are.
She's like, you will.
Yeah.
So then
he calls in the thunder.
Yeah, and then they start bombing everybody. And then they start shooting at something in the sky.
Like, what's that?
And of course, here comes Carol Danvers, who slices his ship
fucking
in half,
straight through the ship, back up through the ship. I mean,
and then the and then Cap tells her, "Hey, we need an assist down here." And then my one of my favorite lines in the entire movie was Peter Parker's holding the gauntlet, and he's shell shocked. And then Carol Danvers comes out. She goes, "He goes, I'm Peter Parker," and she goes, "Hey, Peter Parker,
hey, Peter
you
Parker,
got something for me?"
which was great, but at the same time, I'm like, he doesn't even know who the fuck she is. Why would he give it to her? He doesn't even know who she is.
And then, you have a great, another great comic book moment when Carol takes the gauntlet, and then Peter says, as you said earlier, how are you going to get through all this? And they basically
all the
have
women.
All the women come to help her, which is like an A-Force moment.
Prelude.
Yeah, A-Force was a comic book that was all the women Avengers basically on the same team, which was cool.
But of course, she didn't really need any,
she didn't really
any
need
of the
help.
Help.
She didn't
it was a gratuitous moment because she did not need the help.
And they fight Thanos. They all fight Thanos. And then basically it comes down to Tony and Thanos.
Oh,
and
God.
Tony gets the stones away from him, and then he snaps Thanos
away. He has the play where he's basically, it preluded to him talking to Doctor Strange going, is this the one time? And Doctor Strange says, well, I cannot tell you that because then it wouldn't happen.
Right.
And then he looks over at Strange when all looks bleak, and Thanos is put on the glove, and he looks over at Strange and he just holds up his finger, the one.
Yeah.
So Tony knows that this is it.
That he has to sacrifice
that
himself.
He has to do what he's about to do.
And
then comes probably the second best line.
Yeah.
To cap the whole series off.
Yeah. Thanos says, I am inevitable. And then Tony, and then he realizes he doesn't have the stones. And then Tony says, and I am Iron Man. And then he snaps his fingers. Thanos' army disappears. And then Tony, of course.
And then Tony's all cold-blooded. and make sure that Thanos dies last. Cold-blooded.
And then, of course, the shock is too much for Tony's body, and he dies.
Yeah.
Which
they set up perfectly because you knew
that's his arc.
Powerful
that's
being.
His arc, right.
What an arc.
Yeah.
From fucking 11 years ago, 12 years ago, 10?
11 years ago,
he's building a suit of technology to save him and create a superhero. And then he meets this ultimate, you could call it source of space technology, which is his doom.
Yeah. So, Tony dies. There's a big funeral with all everybody's there and everything like that. And then Cap, they say, you need to put all the stones back in time. And what Cap doesn't tell them, what he told Bucky, clearly, what he told Bucky was going to happen.
Bucky knew. I don't know if, you assume he told Bucky, but...
No, you can see it in his face, and Bucky has like this knowing smile the whole time. Bucky knows what's going to happen. And Cap does indeed take the stones and Mjolnir back to where they're supposed to be, but then he stops off in the 1940s and stays with Peggy. And
he pulls a fucking quantum leap.
Let me, because Mia actually said something that made sense to me, that made it fit together. Because remember, we were saying, well, then what happens to Peggy's family? First of all, she never had any kids.
No, she was.
And second of all, we never met her husband, and all she said was, he saved the life of the man who basically became my husband.
It was him,
and it could have been it was him.
Yeah.
It was him. Which is cool.
Yeah, she I never named cool.
Now, what happens when what happens when he falls out, or when he gets out of the ice, and there are two of them? How does that work?
I don't know. I mean, that's...
And that's when you start thinking about it, and it'll jumble. If you think about it too much with the time travel notion, just like any movie, you can pick it apart.
Right.
But it has a lot to do with you can't mess with the future by changing the past or something like that.
So. What I wanted to get to real quick.
Yeah, on the...
And thinking about the whole Cap going back thing, during one of those trips, he had to go to Vormir.
Oh, to put the stone back.
To put the stone back. And that means
he saw Red Skull.
For the first time since
that's right.
The first Avengers.
That's right.
So he found out where Red Skull went.
That's right. Good call. You're absolutely right. Now, I don't know how he does that. Like, I'd like to know how you give that stone back.
Yeah. Here you go, sir.
Here, sir. I fought you to prevent you from getting one stone.
Yeah.
Let me give you this other stone.
So what did you do? Just chuck it off the
yeah,
top?
Just go maybe. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he would have figured out what
happened.
He would
have had to have seen Red Skull.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Here's another point that I thought about. Why did Thanos... Why did Thanos make that scepter for Loki when it had the Mind Stone in it? He gave it. He basically
why,
had.
Why would he give him?
How did
a
he
stone
have
away?
The stone
yeah.
and then he gave it to Loki?
Yeah, if he was, if clearly he's hunting for all the stones.
Yeah.
Well,
that didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
After thinking about it.
Yeah.
But no, it was. It was a great movie.
It's not
that
you can't try to pick things apart in this movie.
Right.
Just like with any movie this epic
right.
and that spans fucking 11
yeah.
years worth of storytelling.
I mean, even the Dark Knight, you can pick shit apart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
so.
I mean, it was just utterly fantastic. And
it
just
really
that,
was.
The one other thing I thought would have played better for me, and it would have become redundant the way they played it. But you know, they show everyone kind of across the universe or a wide span of things celebrating, and then they cut to Tony's funeral, which is very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like instead of showing, you know, everyone celebrating, I would have almost liked to have seen like the world mourning Tony.
Yeah.
You know, as it not just the intimate moments of just close friends and family, but everyone acknowledging what he did for the world, for the universe, and kind of, you know, panning across and showing the world mourning for him. I thought that would have played well.
Yeah. That would be cool. I did like the funeral scene.
It was mm-hmm. nice and happy talking
yeah.
to Morgan.
Oh God, that was
like,
so sad.
It's like
that was
you
sweet.
You want a cheeseburger? I'll get
that
you all
sweet.
A cheeseburger.
Oh my God, that was so
that was
sad.
Sweet.
It was the perfect ending to the saga. I think
this was still very touching to me because it's Tony dying, but the emotion somehow did not fully come from when he and Pepper were having like I'm like. Goddamn, Pepper, why don't you take that goddamn thing off your hand and touch him with your fucking hand? Like, why are you touching with your
I mean,
with
as
your,
much as
I
can't stand
suit.
Gwyneth Paltrow, like, that moment I felt was really, really touching. Because she,
there was no I love you.
You expected that. Yeah. She said, look, it's okay for you to rest
now. You can
now.
Rest
we're,
now.
We're all safe.
You
yeah,
can
and
rest
it was
now.
Just like...
We're going to be okay.
Yeah, it was a perfect wrap-up for Tony. Like, because
yeah.
he's been so...
Yeah.
caught
right.
up in this like I have to protect everybody and she's like we're safe now
I wanted her to say I love you but
yeah.
it fit what happened
yeah.
and
right.
then of course he gets to close it out with her and his daughter saying
yeah.
that, you know I love you 3000
yeah.
which
I,
is
oh god
yeah
oh,
I mean oh. I'm fully expecting that Robert Downey Jr. will be the AI for whatever Iron Man suit
oh sure
comes to,
sure
comes
could
later.
Be very very
yeah.
welcome the new Jarvis or Friday
yeah, the new yeah. Jarvis yeah
for
so yeah, for Riri Williams. But yeah, it's a great... but yeah, so what happened was, we didn't even finish with Cap. Cap then returns.
Oh,
right. He returns, and he's now an old man.
Yeah.
And he hands the shield off to Sam Wilson, who will now be Captain America.
Yeah.
So
which
it's...
great.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good ending, but it's also great new beginning for
yeah.
going forward.
And I saw today they were showing some things that kind of are callback moments and parallel
mm-hmm.
moments and that this was a good one because it's Sam when you mentioned Sam coming in and saying you're on your left Tony well that's what Cap would always say to Sam when he's running around him around
yeah.
the pond
right,
he said
right.
coming on your left
right,
on your left,
left.
Yeah.
So it was this it was a moment before we even knew that it was acknowledging Falcon as the new
yeah.
captain
right yeah
now a good friend of ours brought up a real solid point about the new Captain America. If he's not all roided up, how's he going to handle throwing that goddamn shield and it not decapitating him when it comes back?
In the comics, he still had the wings and everything. He still kept the wings.
Kind of
and,
exosuit
yeah.
he still
yeah.
has.
He
yeah.
may just use it like as an actual shield.
Sure, as, a,
yeah.
as an actual
yeah.
shield.
Yeah, as an actual shield.
Yeah.
But
this, there are, I mean, this movie does the perfect balance of telling the current story, mixing it in with every aspect of every movie that it has preceded, but not gratuitously so.
No,
not just a wink at you.
Yeah, nothing felt like the knowing wink.
Yeah,
it was all natural to the story.
Pure, right. pure, just amazing cinematic moments. and there were so many of them here. But yeah, that watching Iron Man get to bookend this by saying I'm Iron Man, and then
yeah,
I am Iron Man, and I'm out. You know, amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure Kang will show up at some point to chastise them for all their mucking around with time.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that'll do it. This is also the last episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast.
It's the end game.
No, it's not. Next episode, I don't know. It depends on what we're going to see. So, yeah, well,
it won't be as good as this.
It won't be as good as this. Whatever we're going to see,
you know,
is not going to be
I'm
as good
gonna
as
see
this.
I'm going to see this again.
Yeah, me too. But we'd like to thank Matt for stopping by.
Yeah, you're welcome.
To spoil Avengers for everybody.
Sure.
So any final
Anytime.
Thoughts? Any final thoughts? On?
Not really. I mean, we've pretty much covered it all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got Spider-Man coming up next, but after that, it's you know,
Black Widow and then Eternals is what it's going to be.
They've already mentioned Eternals. So yeah. I mean, they've already started casting for that.
Yeah, so. And Black Widow's is all but announced,
okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's, and that's been cast
completely. I was surprised that you guys, like, this is number one. I didn't expect that. I expected it.
The emotional payoff, because it's right. Payoff after payoff after payoff after payoff. The emotional payoff far outweighs any gripes you could possibly have.
I agree, but I still thought y'all would stick with Winter Soldier for some reason.
No, I mean, because because this one is it's just the culmination of everything. It's just like,
it makes sense.
Winter Soldier is still, you know, very close for me. It's that movie's just fantastic, but this one is just,
that's number three or four for me.
It's got the whole team, and it's great.
It's so incredibly satisfying.
It really is.
Yeah,
and honestly, like when I was satisfied. You know, personally satisfied is great. But when I realized how satisfied you guys were, I knew it had really hit the nail on the head, because you're the true audience, right? You're the ones that grow up with these comics and have more invested in than just the 11 years, which is plenty anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and if anybody, if you haven't seen any of the Marvel movies and you're like, I'm going to go check this movie out, don't bother, because you're not going to get it. It's not going to mean nearly as much to you.
It's
still a good
movie.
But
you walk out of there going, okay.
Yeah, I don't see what the big deal is.
But again, it's the payoff after 11 years.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And the perfect payoff,
by the way. Yep. And we will see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.